Chapter 58. New faces, the major, more blue-faced and staring, more overripe, as it were, the never and giving vent, every now and then, to one of the horse's coughs, not so much of necessity as in a spontaneous explosion of importance, walked arm in arm with Mr. Dombey up the sunny side of the way, with his cheeks swelling over his tight stock, his legs majestically wide apart, and his great head wagging from side to side, as if he were remonstrating within himself for being such a captivating object. They had not walked many yards before the major encountered somebody he knew, nor many yards farther before the major encountered somebody else he knew, but he merely shook his fingers at them as he passed, and led Mr. Dombey on, pointing out the localities as they went, and enlivening the walk with any current scandal suggested by them. In this manner the major and Mr. Dombey were walking arm in arm, much to their own satisfaction, when they beheld advancing towards them a wheelchair, in which a lady was seated, indolently steering her carriage by a kind of rudder in front, while it was propelled by some unseen power in the rear. Although the lady was not young, she was very blooming in the face, quite rosy, and her dress and attitude were perfectly juvenile. Walking by the side of the chair, and carrying her gossamer parasol with a proud and weary air, as if so great an effort must be soon abandoned, and the parasol dropped, sauntered a much younger lady, very handsome, very haughty, very willful, who tossed her head, and drooped her eyelids, as though, if there were anything in all the world worth looking into, save a mirror, it certainly was not the earth or sky. "Why, what the devil have we here, sir?" cried the major, stopping as this little cavalcade drew near. "My dearest Edith," drawled the lady in the chair, "Major Bagstock." The major no sooner heard the voice than he relinquished Mr. Dombey's arm, darted forward, took the hand of the lady in the chair, and pressed it to his lips. With no less gallantry, the major folded both his gloves upon his heart, and bowed low to the other lady. And now, the chair having stopped, the motive power became visible in the shape of a flushed page pushing behind, who seemed to have in part outgrown, and in part outpushed his strength, for when he stood upright he was tall, and wan, and thin, and his plight appeared the more forlorn from his having injured the shape of his hat, by butting at the carriage with his head to urge it forward, as is sometimes done by elephants in Oriental countries. "Joe Bagstock," said the major to both ladies, "is a proud and happy man for the rest of his life." "You false creature," said the old lady in the chair, insipidly. "Where do you come from? I can't bear you." "Then suffer old Joe to present a friend, ma'am," said the major, promptly, as a reason for being tolerated. "Mr. Dombey, Mrs. Skewton." The lady in the chair was gracious. "Mr. Dombey, Mrs. Granger." The lady with the parasol was faintly conscious of Mr. Dombey's taking off his hat, and bowing low. "I am delighted, sir," said the major, "to have this opportunity." The major seemed in earnest, for he looked at all the three, and leered in his ugliest manner. "Mrs. Skewton, Dombey," said the major, "makes havoc in the heart of old Josh." Mr. Dombey signified that he didn't wonder at it. "You perfidious goblin," said the lady in the chair, "have done. How long have you been here, bad man?"
"One day,"
replied the major. "And can you be a day, or even a minute?" returned the lady, slightly settling her false curls and false eyebrows with her fan, and showing her false teeth, set off by her false complexion, "in the garden of what's its name, Eden, I suppose, mama," interrupted the younger lady, scornfully. "My dear Edith," said the other, "I cannot help it. I never can remember those frightful names without having your whole soul, and being inspired by the sight of nature, By the perfume, apostrophe said Mrs. Skewton, rustling a handkerchief that was faint and sickly with essences of her artless breath, you creature. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the discrepancy between Mrs. Skewton's fresh enthusiasm of words and forlornly faded manner was hardly less observable than that between her age, which was about 70, and her dress, which would have been youthful for 27. Her attitude in the wheelchair, which she never varied, was one in which she had been taken in a barrage, some 50 years before, by a then fashionable artist who had appended to his published sketch the name of Cleopatra. In consequence of a discovery made by the critics of the time, that it bore an exact resemblance to that princess as she reclined on board her galley. Mrs. Skewton was a beauty then, and bucks threw wine glasses over their heads by dozens in her honor. The beauty and the barrage had both passed away, but she still preserved the attitude, and for this reason expressly, maintained the wheelchair and the budding page. There being nothing whatever, except the attitude, to prevent her from walking. Mr. Dombey is devoted to nature, I trust? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mrs. Skewton, settling her diamond brooch. And by the way, she chiefly lived upon the reputation of some diamonds, and her family connections. My friend Dombey, ma'am, apostrophe, returned the major, may be devoted to her in secret, but a man who is paramount in the greatest city in the universe, no one can be a stranger, apostrophe, said Mrs. Skewton, to Mr. Dombey's immense influence. Apostrophe, as Mr. Dombey acknowledged the compliment with a bend of his head, the younger lady glancing at him, met his eyes. You reside here, madam? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Dombey, addressing her. No, we have been to a great many places. To Harrogate and Scarborough, and into Devonshire. We have been visiting, and resting here and there. Mama likes change. Apostrophe, Edith of course does not, apostrophe, said Mrs. Skewton, with a ghastly archness. I have not found that there is any change in such places, apostrophe, was the answer, delivered with supreme indifference. They libel me. There is only one change, Mr. Dombey, apostrophe, observed Mrs. Skewton, with a mincing sigh, for which I really care, and that I fear I shall never be permitted to enjoy. People cannot spare one. But seclusion and contemplation are my what is name apostrophe, if you mean paradise, mama, you had better say so, to render yourself intelligible, apostrophe, said the younger lady. My dearest Edith, apostrophe, returned Mrs. Skewton, you know that I am wholly dependent upon you for those odious names. I assure you, Mr. Dombey, nature intended me for an Arcadian. I am thrown away in society. Cows are my passion. What I have ever sighed for has been to retreat to a Swiss farm and live entirely surrounded by cows and china. Apostrophe, this curious association of objects, suggesting a remembrance of the celebrated bull who got by mistake into a crockery shop, was received with perfect gravity by Mr. Dombey, who intimated his opinion that nature was, no doubt, a very respectable institution. What I want, apostrophe, drawled Mrs. Skewton, pinching her shriveled throat, is art. Apostrophe, it was frightfully true in one sense, if not in that in which he used the phrase. What I want is frankness, confidence, less conventionality, and freer play of soul. We are so dreadfully artificial. Apostrophe, we were, indeed. In short, apostrophe, said Mrs. Skewton, I want nature everywhere. It would be so extremely charming. Apostrophe, nature is inviting us away now, mama, if you are ready, apostrophe, said the younger lady, curling her handsome lip. At this hint, the wan page, who had been surveying the party over the top of the chair, vanished behind it, as if the ground had swallowed him up. Stop a moment, Withers. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mrs. Skewton, as the chair began to move, calling to the page with all the languid dignity with which she had called in days of yore to a coachman with a wig, cauliflower nosegay, and silk stockings. Where are you staying, abomination? Apostrophe, the major was staying at the Royal Hotel, with his friend Dombey. You may come and see us any evening when you are good. Apostrophe list Mrs. Scooten. If Mr. Dombey will honor us, we shall be happy. Withers, go on. Apostrophe apostrophe the major again pressed to his blue lips the tips of the fingers that were disposed on the ledge of the wheelchair with careful carelessness, after the Cleopatra model. And Mr. Dombey bowed. The elder lady honored them both with a very gracious smile, and a girlish wave of her hand. The younger lady with the very slightest inclination of her head, that common courtesy allowed. The last glimpse of the wrinkled face of the mother, with that patched color on it which the sun made infinitely more haggard and dismal than any want of color could have been, and of the proud beauty of the daughter with her graceful figure and erect deportment, engendered such an involuntary disposition on the part of both the major and Mr. Dombey to look after them, that they both turned at the same moment. The page, nearly as much aslant as his own shadow, was toiling after the chair, uphill, like a slow battering ram. The top of Cleopatra's bonnet was fluttering in exactly the same corner to the inch as before, and the beauty, loitering by herself a little in advance, expressed in all her elegant form, from head to foot, the same supreme disregard of everything and everybody. I tell you what, sir, apostrophe said the major, as they resumed their walk again. If Joe Backstock were a younger man, there's not a woman in the world whom he'd prefer for Mrs. Backstock to that woman. By George, sir, apostrophe apostrophe said the major, she's superb. Apostrophe, do you mean the daughter? Apostrophe apostrophe inquired Mr. Dombey. Is Joey B. a turnip, Dombey, apostrophe said the major, that he should mean the mother? Apostrophe apostrophe, you were complimentary to the mother, apostrophe returned Mr. Dombey. An ancient flame, sir, apostrophe chuckled Major Backstock. Devilish ancient. I humor her. Apostrophe, she impresses me as being perfectly genteel, apostrophe said Mr. Dombey. Genteel, sir, apostrophe said the major, stopping short, and staring in his companion's face. The Honorable Mrs. Scooten, sir, is sister to the late Lord Phoenix, and aunt to the present Lord. The family are not wealthy, they are poor, indeed, and she lives upon a small jointure. But if you come to blood, sir, apostrophe apostrophe the major gave a flourish with his stick and walked on again, in despair of being able to say what you came to, if you came to that. You addressed the daughter, I observed, apostrophe said Mr. Dombey, after a short pause, as Mrs. Granger. Apostrophe Edith Scooten, sir, apostrophe returned the major, stopping short again, and punching a mark in the ground with his cane. To represent her, married, at 18, Granger of ours, apostrophe whom the major indicated by another punch. Granger, sir, apostrophe said the major, tapping the last ideal portrait, and rolling his head emphatically, was colonel of ours, a devilish handsome fellow, sir, of 41. He died, sir, in the second year of his marriage. Apostrophe the major ran the representative of the deceased Granger through and through the body with his walking stick, and went on again, carrying his stick over his shoulder. How long is this ago? Apostrophe apostrophe asked Mr. Dombey, making another halt. Edith Granger, sir, apostrophe replied the major, shutting one eye, putting his head on one side, passing his cane into his left hand, and smoothing his shirt frill with his right, is, at this present time, not quite 30. And damn, sir, apostrophe said the major, shouldering his stick once more, and walking on again, she's a peerless woman. Apostrophe apostrophe, was there any family? Apostrophe apostrophe asked Mr. Dombey presently. Yes, sir, apostrophe said the major. There was a boy. Apostrophe, Mr. Dombey's eyes sought the ground, and a shade came over his face. Who was drowned, sir, apostrophe pursued the major. When a child of 4 or 5 years old. Apostrophe, indeed? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Mr. Dombey, raising his head. By the upsetting of a boat in which his nurse had no business to have put him, apostrophe said the major. That's his history. Edith Granger is Edith Granger still, but if tough old Joey B. Sir were a little younger and a little richer, the name of that immortal paragon should be Bagstock. Apostrophe, the major heaved his shoulders and his cheeks and laughed more like an overfed Mephistopheles than ever as he said the words. Provided the lady made no objection, I suppose? Apostrophe, said Mr. Dombey coldly. By gad, sir, apostrophe, said the major, the Bagstock breed are not accustomed to that sort of obstacle. Though it's true enough that Edith might have married 20 times, but for being proud, sir, proud. Apostrophe, Mr. Dombey seemed, by his face, to think no worse of her for that. It's a great quality after all, apostrophe, said the major. By the Lord, it's a high quality. Dombey, you are proud yourself, and your friend, old Joe, respects you for it, sir. Apostrophe, with this tribute to the character of his ally, which seemed to be wrung from him by the force of circumstances, and the irresistible tendency of their conversation, the major closed the subject, and glided into a general exposition of the extent to which he had been beloved, and doted on by splendid women and brilliant creatures. On the next day but one, Mr. Dombey and the major encountered the Honorable Mrs. Skewton and her daughter in the pump room. On the day after, they met them again very near the place where they had met them first. After meeting them thus 3 or 4 times in all, it became a point of mere civility to old acquaintances that the major should go there one evening. Mr. Dombey had not originally intended to pay visits, but on the major announcing this intention, he said he would have the pleasure of accompanying him. So the major told the native to go round before dinner and say, with his and Mr. Dombey's compliments, that they would have the honor of visiting the ladies that same evening, if the ladies were alone. In answer to which message, the native brought back a very small note with a very large quantity of scent about it, indited by the Honorable Mrs. Skewton to Major Bagstock, and briefly saying, "You are a shocking bear, and I have a great mind not to forgive you, but if you are very good indeed, apostrophe which was underlined, you may come." Compliments in which Edith unites, to Mr. Dombey. Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.